Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Records Guy Podcast, the show that focuses on topics and individuals from the field of records management. Here's your host, Richard Goreski.
Welcome as can be. I am Richard Goreski, and I'm so glad to be with you today. Spring is here, the grass is turning green, flowers are budding, the birds are chirping, baseball's back. It's an extraordinary time indeed, especially for those in the records profession, because spring is also the start of the annual wave of local ARMA seminars and conferences. Closer to home, ARMA Milwaukee has a great lineup of speakers planned and topics set for Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. Embrace the Change is the theme of this year's spring seminar. Reading from the official ARMA Milwaukee announcement, if I could get that out here. Records managers deal with constant change. This conference is designed to provide useful information to help manage those changes. In addition to a speaker's roundtable over lunch, topics and speakers will include, first, our keynote address is going to be given by the 2017 recipient of the URISA Exemplary Systems and Government Award. He is the Racine County Register of Deeds, Tyson Fettis. Then we're going to have Jumpstart 03365 and SharePoint in the Modern Workplace by Matt Ingenbus of Concurrency. Information Governance, Employee Behavior Change Management by Mark Diamond of Conturo. Emerging Trends in Record Storage by Mike Coakley and Mike Kay of C.H. Coakley. Blockchain and Emerging Trends in Technology by Eric Franz of Concurrency. And last but not least, Mark Diamond pulling double duty as he does How IG Professionals Can Deal with Disruptive Technologies. There is one more session, and it's going to be presented by my guest of this time. He is, in my opinion, the records king of Kansas City. Please welcome Mr. David Stewart. Thank you for coming on the show today, David.
Hey, Richard. Glad to be with you. And I think records king of Kansas City is almost as good as sausage king of Chicago for all you Ferris Bueller fans out there.
Ferris Bueller, yes, sirree. I wish I had the talent to be able to do a little applause sound clip here, but I don't. David, you have over 20 years' experience in records management. You hold a bachelor's degree in management and organizational development and a master's degree in business administration. You were an adjunct professor for Emporia State University, where you taught records and information management for a decade. You've presented on a variety of information management topics all over the nation for ARMA and other organizations. Frankly, David, you've forgotten more about records management than I may ever know. And you know, now that I think about that, that was supposed to sound impressive, so I probably shouldn't have used myself as the comparison there. But honestly, you are really someone that is very knowledgeable about records management. On a personal level, you're one of my absolute favorite speakers to listen to. And we talked earlier today, and I said, you just have a real down-to-earth way of connecting to people. I love it. You can talk about topics that are extremely complex, and I never walk away feeling like I was a dummy or I just couldn't get it. So I really appreciate you and what you bring to the table. Could you please tell the listeners a little bit about your journey, though? For those that maybe don't know you, how did you get into records management as a career field?
Well, thank you for that amazing introduction. I hope that anyone who is listening to this and then attends one of the seminars where I'll be speaking isn't disappointed. I don't know if I can live up to that billing. But that being said, I started in records at the very end of 1991 in Wichita, Kansas, and it was for the Trust Division. They brought me in and actually offered me one of two positions. One was working with the securities area, and that would be things like assets of trust customers' securities. Or they took me down to this basement, which had boxes stacked all over and microfilm equipment that was still literally in its packing crates. And they said, now, we do have this position, but we want to warn you. Please come and look at this. And the more I listened to them, human resources in that interview warned me about the mess they had. And then the lady who would eventually become my boss, as she was interviewing me, warned me about the mess they had. And the more that I listened, the more that I thought, I have the opportunity to make a difference that they could see. And I chose to do the records for that reason. That, and I felt like my personality fit, that I was fairly organized, at least at work. If I'm getting paid to, I can be pretty organized. Doing it at home is on my own time, so that's hit or miss. But I jumped into that opportunity and really got to enjoy it immensely. It's so much so that I decided to make it a career and found the local ARMA chapter in Wichita, which is the Central Kansas chapter of ARMA, and was mentored by a gentleman named Don Martins, who at that time worked for the Boeing company in Wichita. And he and others were more than gracious, which is, that's what we know of ARMA, isn't it? It's about the people, it's about the members, and it's about reaching out to anyone who needs support to get them up to speed and make them great at what they do.
It is networking, yes, and being able to share in that common. We all have everything in common. We're doing it a little bit different ways, but we all are going through the same things. I'm never amazed. I'm never not amazed every time I get into a conversation with people and they talk about different issues that they're facing. I was just at an ARMA meeting recently, and the speaker, I would say, wow, I'm going through the same things. So, yeah, I connect with what you're saying, David. Please continue.
I built a program there in the trust division, and it literally hadn't existed. They had, I think every place I've ever been, there's always been some level of components, or I call them building blocks. And I was able to take those and create a holistic approach, building a record and information program. We were microfilming at that time, which is just an analog version of imaging, right? And we was able to microfilm, with the support of some part-time folks, over 1 million images. And we had what at that time was called computer-aided retrieval for the microfilm, which was a database called Who's On First. It was locally developed in Wichita by the vendor, and it allowed us to input information about the accounts and files and then correlate them to the appropriate reel of film. And as I continued to build the program there, I got frustrated because I didn't have any kind of record software. And I asked to get record software, and they kept telling me no. And one day it hit me that the Who's On First program basically had all of the things I needed to have a record software. So I talked to the company that made it, and I said, could I do this with it? And they thought about it for a while and said, well, how to do the programming on this? And I'm not somebody who I'd call a very high-level computer programming expert, but I was able to muddle my way through and build a records, an electronic records management system out of that software, and worked with the legal component of the bank, and we built a retention program, and then I was able to write procedures, create disposition, and lo and behold, one day we had a full-fledged lifecycle management program. And then that was about the time I was able to move into a law firm records position, and really build a records program at a law firm in Wichita that, again, that hadn't existed before. Actually, they had their stuff in a ledger, handwritten ledger, and we were able to eventually move that into a records software and build a program from there and introduce retention. And that's when eventually in 1999 I was hired by a large law firm in Kansas City, moved up to Kansas City where I still am, and spent just over 18 years at that firm building a records program and that company to merge and acquire. We went from 300 attorneys to about 750. And when I left, there were about 55 people in the records department at that time.
That's one of the things that I remember most about you is how, as I put myself in the shoes of someone like yourself and think about how difficult it must have been to manage all the different locations across the nation. I mean, 55 different professionals in your records management area. That's one of the most impressive things, I think. Any secrets to how you got through it? Any tips that you would give somebody else that's working in that area in another large type of multi-site national law firm? Or what do you got?
First of all, I think that a large, complex records organization like that is becoming a dinosaur. There just aren't that many around anymore. And by saying that, I'm not saying that there isn't a need. I'm just saying that the opportunities are not like they used to be with the paradigm shift into electronic records management. But to answer your question, I was very blessed by God to be given the support from leadership at this organization. Even when things were difficult in the early days, they never wavered. They believed in the vision that I brought to them. We had a plan in place. We had a budget set aside for it. And it was really about scaling, Richard. We did not start out with 55 people. We didn't start out with two dozen locations where we had records management going. We started out in a law firm that had primarily Kansas City and St. Louis offices and built out from there. Get it right in Kansas City. Emulate that in St. Louis. Write the procedures. Write the policies. Train the personnel. Get the right people in because, frankly, some of the people who worked there originally were not on board with what we were trying to do. So it was a matter of building the program brick by brick, doing things well, doing things in a way that satisfied the internal customers and added value to the clients of the organization. In the early days, in 99, 2000, attorneys at the law firm were literally telling me, our clients cannot figure out how we're able to get information to them in such a timely manner, because in a larger law firm environment like that, it wasn't unusual for clients to be using different lawyers in different firms across the country. And they were beginning to see a noticeable difference on the delivery of information from that law firm compared to the others they employed. That is really the proof in the pudding for a records professional, is to hear that we're making a difference so profound that the customers see it and the practitioners are pleased with the results. That's when you get the momentum, the buy-in, and suddenly the floodgates can open for building even more success.
David, that sounds like a topic for a future meeting, if I may say so myself. Have you given before we move into the topic that we have you presented on that before?
I'm not particularly on that. I've talked about cost-benefit analysis, how to justify budget and spending, and I've talked about building a complex records environment in a big business. But, no, not particularly just on outcomes-based records management, I guess is the best way to phrase what we were discussing.
Well, let's
a lot of
the name
comes down to solving problems for people, really. Isn't that what we do?
Yes, sir, it is indeed. The name of the topic, if I could move to the Arm of Milwaukee Spring Seminar, the name of the topic you're presenting is called Cleaning House, Applying Retention and Disposition to a Real World Repository. Now, without giving away too much for individuals considering attending, could you share a little bit, please, just a little preview of what they can expect on Tuesday, April 24th in Milwaukee?
Sure. When we start talking, you and I, about the concept of having the spring seminar and me being a part thereof, as well as I was talking at the same time to St. Louis about their spring seminar, we discussed a number of topics. And something that I've seen as a stumbling block for a lot of our peers is the fact that they often get stymied in addressing collections of information that are, may I use the word, disorganized?
I think that's very accurate.
You look at even something like email, and I know that email's been a major impediment to good records management. And I would dare say that most organizations have not solved that problem, even if they've gotten to the point that they're outputting content from the Outlook environment, the Exchange server, into some kind of email archive scenario. That doesn't mean that they have created solutions. It just means that they've gotten a bigger box to put it all in. And solutions need to come in the form of identifying what you have so that then you can do the right governance with that information. Do we need to keep it? Does it need to be protected? Is it subject to a legal hold? Is it subject to discovery? And how do I get rid of this stuff? Those are all key questions. And I don't care if you're talking about email. I don't care if you're talking about a shared drive. I don't care if they're computer reel-to-reel tapes that are sitting in a box or a hard drive. It really comes down to records and information management fundamentals. We make it more difficult sometimes because it's newer technology or it's digital. But the reality is, it's no different than it was in 1950 or whenever we're talking about, physical or electronic. We have to know what we have in order to manage it effectively. And we're going to do an exercise where we give all the attendees an opportunity to deal with a hypothetical situation. And then I'm going to go through my recommendations on how anyone can begin to address this kind of barrier, this kind of hurdle in their program. And then I want to take the feedback from what the groups have done in the exercise, as well as if anyone has actually successfully done it in their own environment. And I'd like to bring those real-world solutions in so that the attendees have an opportunity to look at a range of solutions to put in their toolboxes. Look, maybe not everybody in any particular seminar is going to have this challenge in front of them today, but I think most people, if they're in the profession long enough, will at some point or another face the dilemma of dealing with unorganized information contained within a succinct area.
David, I am very much excited and looking forward to seeing you on April 24th, but as you mentioned earlier, you are doing a second show in St. Louis on Wednesday the 25th. Are there any other sessions, St. Louis, and then do you have anything else lined up?
No, just St. Louis. You're right, it's April 25th. If anybody is interested, if St. Louis is a better location or the date is better for them, you can find information on that by going to armastl.org. That's armastl.org. And just go to their events page and you'll find information about that seminar.
That kind of leads into my next question, was contact information for yourself. Do you have some contact information you'd like to share with our listeners or individuals who might be interested in having you speak for their organizations? Maybe a blog or something of that nature? Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, but and I'm at, you can find me at Jake Jayhawk. That's JakeJayhawk. But from that very name, you can tell that I do a lot of tweeting about college athletics, but you can find me there. And the best way to reach me would be by email, and that is JakeJayhawk@hotmail.com. That's JakeJayhawk@hotmail.com. And I'm happy to answer questions or meet new friends.
Cleaning house, applying retention and disposition to a real-world repository is the session. Tuesday, April 24th at the ARMA Milwaukee Springs Seminar is the date and place. David Stewart's also going to be part of our speakers panel during lunch, where we will take questions and talk about best practices. For more information or to sign up for this event, please visit the ARMA Milwaukee website at armamilwaukee.org. David, I'd like to once again thank you for coming on the show today. Sincerely, thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing you on April 24th. In parting, do you have any comments that you'd like to share?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, Richard, it's an honor and a privilege to do this with you. I think that you have a lot to offer to your peers, our peers, and I appreciate that you're making this opportunity for me to get to Milwaukee and see friends and contribute to this. And anyone listening, I definitely welcome you to reach out to me, reach out to Richard if you have questions about this topic. And I'll look forward to seeing a lot of you listening in Milwaukee.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Remember, the date is Tuesday, April 24th, 2018, for the ARMA Milwaukee Spring Seminar, Embrace the Change. It's an all-day event. It's packed with topics and speakers that you won't want to miss, arguably the most diverse as far as topics and different speakers, the most widest various topics that ARMA Milwaukee has ever put on for a spring seminar. I hope you can be there. Visit armamilwaukee.org for more information. Thank you so much, David. Until next time, I'm Richard Goreski. Thanks so much for joining me. So long, everyone.
Well, that's the end of the life cycle for this show. If you'd like to reach the host or one of his guests, you can contact the show via email at goreski1@yahoo.com. That's GUREESKI and the number 1@yahoo.com. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Records Guy Podcast. The views expressed on this show are solely those of the host and his guests. They are not necessarily reflective of ARMA International, ARMA Milwaukee, or the ARMA Milwaukee Board.